hit record and I will start with intro. So, hello expressionist, and thank you for tuning in. Today we have our special guest, John Hamilton. Thank you for coming in today.
It's a pleasure. Marzi, yeah?
Yes. So, John grew up in New Zealand and Australia and now living in Thailand.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, I grew up in New Zealand basically and spent 10 years in Australia, and then I've been in Thailand for 4 years now.
Nice. And you are now reconnecting with Mother Earth and her healing wisdom and modalities. And other things about you is you're a digital nomad who start your own podcast channel called Life Hacker Live. And with the emphasis on empowering feminists through your podcast. So before we get to the questions, I just want to read a little poem that I wrote and so that we can elaborate on it. It's a short one. How can she reach for the stars if her toes are not gripping the ground? How can she lead by example if her tribe cannot see her footsteps? How can she follow her dreams if her sleep is light and her dreams are forgotten? Her dreams are beyond her words, as if words are too rigid to describe her mission. Her mission for change and new creation. So it seems nice. Like, John, that you are, I guess, pushing that road of following your dreams and creating a change in this world. How would you say that you came up with your idea with your project, and like, has it always been clear that this is what you wanted to do, or has it become stronger?
Well, Marzi, basically I think, you know, it relates to my upbringing. My upbringing was in New Zealand and in the country. Right out in the edges of New Zealand, much of it, from pretty wild stuff. And I really got to see what Mother Nature, how powerful she was. And I lived in some places that were, you know, we'd have basically 6 months of grey of storms. And so, and, you know, just get huge rainfall. So, but at the same time, I saw huge nature there, you know. I lived beside this, you know, big river, and, I'd look up and I'd see 200 ducks fly over, and then there'd be another flight of 200 ducks, and the swans would be flying up into the sunset, into the mountains. The river was full of fish. So I really got in touch with nature, and, you know, it's quite a bit of that time I spent on my own there from, you know, when I was in my teens. So, I got to understand and love nature. And then, over the year, then I saw them, you know, come in and do forestry on that land, and they flattened all the trees on the hills and burned them off and everything. And I just saw the weather change dramatically, you know, from massive, 120 inches of rain a year to down to about 70 or 80 over the space of 18 years. So I saw the impact of this economic model we have. I saw that impact the valley I was in. And so I've always been very aware of the environment, and feel very much for it. So I grew up there. Then my parents had country stores, so I lived in the country, and saw how the country stores actually got closed down as everything got centralized more and more. So over the years, I just didn't pretty put into practice or into realization until I sort of got a bit older and realized how it all worked. But I grew up in the country. I had a very good education. I had 9 different primary schools. So I learned to work with my father and my parents doing lots of different things. And then later on, when I got married, I had we worked in the farming country community as well, and ended up being a horticulturalist for 14 years, growing specialized in cherry tomatoes. But at the first part of that, we actually had our crops wiped out by hormone herbicide 2,4,5-T in the water supply. So that took out our crops, and that became into a bit of a long-term battle with the Water Supply Authority. And that was a 9-year court battle, with several battles, and ended up in Privy Council in England. Two of the law lords said we had a case, two didn't. They said we were should have suggested that we were going to, that we were, you know, the water was supplied for humans, not for crops. So consequently, it didn't cover us. So we lost our court case, and they ended up taking a part, you know, fair part of, well, our land off us, which should be, well, yeah, a big slice of our land. So that was in 94. So for many years now, I've been, you know, just watching what's happening in the environment, and also very much appreciating, especially now in later years, that with this masculine feminine situation that's coming up now, which I didn't really experience at all when I was younger, I'm just seeing that there's a division being put between the masculine and the feminine. You know, I was brought up in you know, my grandmothers and my mothers and all those sort of things. You know, they were great role models for me, and they held the wisdom, and my grandmother was a midwife and things. So, you know, I really got to appreciate the power of the feminine. And I also, you know, growing up with nature as well, I sort of understand nature. So, yeah, with my farming, with my horticulture, I actually won a preeminent award in New Zealand for excellence in food science for the crop that we grew. And that was because we'd used permaculture principles and a lot of natural organisms, trichoderma around the roots of the plants, which are good bugs, and they held off the bad bugs, and you know, a lot of bumblebees for pollination and things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, very much in nature, and also recognised for my research ability, even though I hadn't been to do any of those studies at university or anything. It's just a natural thing that comes to me, is inquiring into these things. So yeah, I've got a rich background in history and you know, research and horticulture of farming. During my time in farming, I probably did all the different sorts of farming, and yeah, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, not realizing it, that it was not necessarily, I just followed the system. But looking back now, I can see, you know, that it wasn't at all conducive to a great environment. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's carried on from there. I'm sort of compacting a fair bit in there. I had four great kids, and then you know, with the Printback UU Food Award, you know, I won that with my ex-wife. So, you know, she was a very important part of that as well. So, you know, it's when you're on your own, sometimes it's running like with you know, running with one leg. It's a bit difficult. Mm-hmm. So I got to appreciate also over the years the importance of having that balance. Where did we go from there? Yeah, that's basically my up till farming. Then I went to Australia, got involved in some, you know, working with some people there, actually in exhibitions and things, and then came to Thailand 4 years ago, and just love it here. It's just such a beautiful culture, and actually very feminine. It's very matrilineal. You know, you see communities, you see mothers still got their children, even though they're poor. In fact, probably it's a benefit that they're poor, because they keep the children with them, and the children, you know, have that touch and that companionship right from birth, right through to 3 or 4 years. And, you know, the grandmothers are in the, you know, you've got a society there. It's very, you know, tribal and very nice and touching. And yeah, I feel very comfortable here. So,
more togetherness with the family to have.
What's that?
They're more together with their family and their parents.
That's right. And I just, once again, from my research, I realize that these people, because they have touch with their children, you know, from a very early age, the boys and the girls, you know, you've got Thailand, you've got, you know, it's well known for the ladyboys and things like that. You've got really an acceptance of all sorts of genders. The femininity that's quite natural in the community, you know, it's great, you know, and they, you just feel really quite at home here. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, So I sort of see it from all sides. I compare what's happening in Thailand to what I see in the West, you know, with the young people that I'm mixing with here in Thailand, the Chiang Mai. There's a lot of young nomads come through from the West. They never had that touch from the age of very young. So they, you know, they didn't get that connection with the feminine. They didn't learn about touch. And so a lot of them, you know, are finding it very difficult in relationships these days.
Yeah, I was watching Gabor Mate's interview, and he was saying to grow up with your mother is like the most and first and most important relationship and role model in your life. Like, that's just, it leads your whole life after that.
Yeah, that's right. I think so. My grandmother was a midwife, and she was also, and her side of the family was actually very interested in theosophy and that sort of the Rosicrucian side of it. And so my father picked that up. He was a drover. Just saw him on the farm working the dogs. You know, basically he was working the dogs with his mind. You know, he had six dogs and they'd go off and do things and, you know, won a lot of stock at one stage, got lost, you know, and he was a drover. And 3 days later, the dog bought the stock up. And Dad was very powerful and always, he gave me a book when I was young called Thought Forces. So he was always encouraging us to realize that our minds, created our reality. Our minds were important around us.
Okay. So, and then back to, so where you are now in Thailand and your projects and the people that you're meeting, where do you see this, this idea that you're expanding on? Where do you see it going in the future?
I see that we've got, I recognize so many difficulties on the planet. And I also see so much misinformation there that confuses people. So I, with what I'm involved with here and what I'm looking at doing is really that we have a division in society that's being caused by outside forces, as far as I'm concerned. We have been conditioned, the whole thing. I don't think, the thing about women getting the vote created equality. I don't think it did. I think that was incorrect. The whole thing, women think different to guys. You know, it's like putting a man and a woman in a boxing ring, okay? It's just not fair. Women think in community. You know, the man thinks in a situation of a masculine principle, because I don't think all men necessarily can be under the what they class as the dominating male thing, because I know so many men that are just amazing people, just, you know, beautiful people, really just so big-hearted people. So I think when you sort of, we use the word the masculine or the male, that has been a term that's being created to create the division as well. But so with, where am I going with this? Where I am, I see so many difficulties on the planet. And I think that those are traditional. My research takes me back basically to 10,000 years to the beginning of sort of the Babylonian war culture.
The industrial age.
Agricultural age, which actually began close to 12,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. And my research has gone back looking at the archaeology that was prior to that and then that period of time. And the archaeology shows that actually, the buildings were round. You know, a lot of the buildings were round, and there was a lot more. The Garden of Eden was possibly, from what the look at the research, that actually that whole part of the Middle East was very, very abundant with fruit and vegetables and everything you could want. What they call the hunter-gatherer period of time. So I think at that time my thing being a life hacker, I think our human program was interfered with, and I think we can change that, but we need to really take our own power back. You know, we are in a system that follows through from the war and the rape and the murder culture that was put out that conquered the planet and did quite a lot of damage.
So you're saying that to be able to figure out what, how, where is this all going, we need to go learn about how it all started and why we got hacked as a collective.
Okay. Well, I'm actually a bit of a cosmologist, you might say. I am very interested in, you know, the ancient wisdoms, the ancient myths, and so I've put those all together, and I mean there is a small part of that that fits in with the Bible, but a small part. The Bible, I think, has been taken from these and put in its own form to, once again, to keep us under the thumb of the well, whoever we may say. But anyway, so, you know, the ancient cultures would suggest that we are part of a process. We're not actually just here now. You know, we are part of a process. If we look back at the ancient Gaia Sophia stories, which the Gaia Sophia story says that Gaia actually was born in the center of the universe and came down into the planet we're living on, or created the planet, the life. But in the process, that energy settled into an environment that was somewhat hostile. And so our life force at the moment of Gaia Sophia, the feminine, is in a situation that is doesn't have the clarity of mind, is somewhat hostile. So it's a very ancient story.
So our minds have been taken control of, and then they're still somewhat controlling humans.
Yes, yeah, it's basically, I think, we were like children. We, you know, we have been children, we're growing up, and thank goodness we've got to the point now we can actually take back our own power by realizing what's going on, you know, just like an adolescent leaves home. So we're about to leave, we should leave home.
So, but, you know, when you're learning about this, or to anyone who's listening who is doing their own research, you know, we go through a bit of, oh, my God, what is happening out there? You know, what's going on? Like, it does scare us a little bit. It puts more fear in our mind that we already have. So, you know, I'm sure you've experienced that when you read something and you're like, how could this be happening right now? And then you feel like the lowest, and you feel stuck, and you feel like so much fear of, you know, the world around you. How do you get back up?
Well, part of it is you know, like I've been in those places as well. It's really is because if you can have a bigger picture. So my bigger picture, like I say, that, you know, the ancient Gaia Sophia story, you know, I've researched all that, and that's where the ancient Stoics came from. The Nakamadi texts were found in the Middle East, you know, 1934 or something. So they explain the Gaia Sophia story. So if we look at, we're part of a process, and actually the challenges we have in life are what actually give us the lessons we need to learn, overcoming those. So overcoming those, it's like a baby being born. The mother goes through labor, and at that, you know, and the child's whole body is really, it goes from a sleeping state, and so it has to be woken up so that it comes into the world aware and you know, has its immune systems kicked into gear. It has to be, you know, put on air, you know, put in a situation where it's awake, because it's got to come out and survive. So, you know, the whole birth process is painful, but it wakes up the child, it wakes up its immune system, and, you know, the things that are around that are very important for life. So, you know, our challenges can be quite painful and quite constricting. But the bigger picture is that it sharpens us up. You know, we live in a world we think everything should be fine, but it's not part of the system. Part of the system, if we look at nature, it's sort of, you know, live or die in nature. So, you know, be aware.
I love that concept, because it's as if you're, the bigger picture, whatever you want to call it, is it's what's regaining your powers and making you reborn again into a stronger human.
That's an exciting journey. It's the hard times in life that I've learned my lessons from.
Definitely.
And not only learn the lessons, you lift up another level of awareness and appreciation and deep compassion for other people. And, you know, like my experiences of life around nature have given me a deep compassion for life as well. And
I always hear you saying these very like passionate words and sweet, you know, you're always looking at the bright side. Who's been your biggest inspiration, I guess? Like, who is the one that you're like, right, today is going to be a big day?
Who is one of my many inspirations?
Yes. You can name as many as you want.
I suppose really my biggest inspiration is myself.
Wow. Okay. You are your own master.
Well, very, very, I seek to be that, and I don't, certainly not perfect in that respect, because really I'm an expression of Mother Nature. I am an expression of the planet I'm living on. You know, I won't be here forever, or I wasn't here forever. So if I can fulfill my expression here and to the best of my ability, then that inspires me. But certainly I've got, you know, many people that inspire me. You know, there's some great writers there. You know, even people, and basically I wouldn't necessarily say they've given me knowledge that has helped me. You know, Teilhard de Chardin, you know, he was a French priest. Anyway, before he was a priest, he was in the First World War as a stretcher bearer, and he just saw the rain of death that was coming down on the soldiers, and he saw within that life itself giving itself people back to, you know, giving itself back to life. And then he went on, and he was actually ejected from the Catholic Church and stuff, and hidden away in the back of China, where he discovered Pekin Man, which destroyed the whole Adam and Eve story, you know. And this is a priest, so they didn't like him any more. But he's actually coming back now. I hear that he's actually been, his words have been quoted. So really, we are part of a process.
So many parts of history is coming back and repeating, and we've been reminded today. So it seems like, John, you're creating something new here, and you are going this direction of the your own feminine part growing and inspiring, you know, females out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been around 60 odd years, so I've experienced pretty much, you know, pretty different relationships, situations. I wouldn't necessarily say it's my own feminine coming through. I know that my masculine is inspiring also to people in my, you know, in my world. But it's about being paced, you know, not really paced. It's just we are naturally, you know, yin and yang. We naturally have our natural energies. And, you know, this body, this incarnation, whatever, I am masculine, and I've been put into certain situations that have actually brought that forth. Like I said, as a child, I was put through 9 different primary schools, which means I'm going into 9 different environments all the time. And that in itself had its challenges of learning to deal with people. And then, you know, the whole farming thing, I, you know, so I've had lots of challenges as a male, and I think that I've had to stand up as a man regularly in my family, you know, with my 4 children and stuff. I didn't have to stand up as much as I just did what felt right, and wasn't always appreciated, but it's held me in good stead. And but I certainly appreciate the feminine, like I say, I certainly appreciate all levels, right, from my grandmother, who used to really provide a whole community for us, you know, we'd always go to Christmas dinner and things there. And I know she'd been thinking about the family for 6 months before getting all things ready for Christmas too, etc. And then my wife and my mother and my daughter. So I totally, deeply appreciate the feminine. And yeah, I certainly love, you know, their colour, their flirting, the energy they bring to, you know, us guys are pretty slack, you know. You know, we need to be woken up. And that's one of the ancient stories, once again, is about the feminine is here to wake the masculine up, because the masculine can go off fishing or go to sleep, or and he's pretty happy to, but, you know, there's nothing like it. Yeah. So,
You're say that you're, what you're doing now, I guess you got inspired by having strong female supports when you were growing up. How would your life be different if you didn't have those role models as a young little boy?
How would it be different? It would be nowhere near as exciting. Nowhere near as exciting.
If not saying if they weren't there, I'm saying if they weren't as a strong role model, like a strong female role model as they were?
Well, that's hard to even imagine, because they were there and they still are there. I sort of, you know, because we've got our genders, things going on at the moment, we are not really, you know, it comes back to, you know, what I'm saying about the little village here. You know, the mothers, they're there with their sons and daughters from, you know, for 3 or 4 years at least, of touch, of learning about that whole relationship and the, you know, the sound of the voice, the community. If that hadn't been there in my upbringing, I would be quite lost, I think. And I think I see that in many of the younger people these days, is they and it's, you know, this technology age that's kicking in now is scary. I'm quite concerned. I looked from now 5 years out, 10 years out, and that is very, you know, I had that upbringing, I had that nature and nurturing. A lot of these people these days don't have, and they're being, you know, we've got things like Facebook and those sort of things, and Google. They're actually putting us in filter bubbles that are filtering out a lot of the good stuff, and seems to be steering us in the wrong direction.
Definitely.
So if I didn't have that experience, then I might be finding it a bit difficult, like the younger people today. You know, the guys and the girls, I certainly don't, you know, I certainly bleed for the young people I see coming through. But at the same time, I also realize that they were born at that time for a reason. They've got a frequency. It's a different frequency to mine, and they can make advantage of it.
Definitely, definitely. And for the audience who are listening, who are going through, I guess, similar or different challenges that you have been, or just feel stuck in the head and just, you know, they haven't got the concept of, like, the change that they're supposed to create yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What sort of advice would you give them to keep going?
Yeah, well, sure. I sense that need to make a change, which is important. I mean, I had a need as I grew up to do things as well. I would certainly say we have been put into a technology age for, you know, really, like even the farming revolution, the industrial revolution, and the technology revolution we have now. We have been steered into technology. I would certainly say get back to nature. You know, get back into nature, get back out and experience nature, and get out and start to experience touch again. Have, you know, do some relationship, learn about relationships, because it's not about doing it as on your own. It's about doing it with other people. You know, we all have our difficulties, and we learn through relationships as we're growing up, but those relationships are still powerful. I would from the nature point of view, in my glasshouses when I was a horticulturalist, we actually introduced one stage there a little machine that chirped like birds, just like nature, you know, chirp, 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 chirp. I think it was called Sonic Bloom or something. And that chirping, the plants around that chirping grew faster than the plants further out. Mm. Okay, so the sounds of nature and being out in nature can re-stimulate your re-stimulate are very, very important for you. So I'd encourage people, get the heck out of the city. head to the country.
I can hear the birds in your background.
I've even got a pet lizard. But they call it Toke. It's about 10 inches long, and he talks to me. You might actually hear him start chirping in a minute. So I love it. It's great. So getting back out into nature, mm-hmm. Getting out and doing some of the things, taking some challenges, going out and tramping, going out, taking expeditions somewhere, go to Antarctica or do some different things, take on some life challenges, and also touch as well, whether it's a massage, whether it's doing relationship courses. Okay, there'll be all sorts of stuff comes up in that. But at the same time, reconnect with the feminine, reconnect with the masculine, and nature as well. Don't necessarily, we're put into this society of scarcity, which is quite ridiculous. We're taught about scarcity from day one. I can't believe that children are paying, that are forced to have to go to university and have to come out of there with a debt. How absolutely insane is that?
It's the beginning of the trap, that's what it is.
Oh, well, that's right. Well, their parents are brought up in it too, and so the children learn about scarcity when they're young because their parents have to go out and work and don't actually give them the touch when they're young. Hmm. I do think we're misled into technology. We should be far more going back into learning about touch, learning touching. Basically, even I, if a guy touches me, and that's ridiculous. Girls go along with their hands, their arm wrapped around each other, and that's fine. But mm-hmm. young men are always taught about the homophobic thing, and so and even I was brought up with that. But I also had, the feminine at that same time, so I didn't quite get.
But in Thailand, how are the guys distant from each other, or are they close?
The traveling guys are distant from each other. Like I say, I mix with a few internet nomads, and some of them are on their computer and locked away in their room, and they go out and enjoy some of the society, but they are not.
What about the local people?
Oh, the Thai guys are great. They get out there and put their arm around you, or the touch is there. Sometimes a bit too much, as you might say. Yes. But at the same time, native cultures tend to, touch and hug and that sort of thing. There's none of this masculine, macho stuff. So, big time. I think it's important to, to really, and the ladies as well, to realize, what's going on. If you go into a relationship, it shouldn't be going for a one-night stand. It should be going and maybe have a massage or give each other a massage first, first week massages only. Just get to know each other,
Wow, you've said some beautiful words today. I'm sure that you've got so much brightness around you.
Hey, I've got some good friends. I do keep my boundaries as well. I do keep away if I sense someone is not contributing, or too many people negative around me, then, or people that are negative, then I don't waste too much time. I don't get into hargy bargy about that. I just sort of tend to move on. Yeah. We're an important time. We need to conserve our energy and point it in the direction that I think is important.
I think, and definitely answer the poem that I started with, like, we are here to create a change, and we do feel small, but together I guess we can go a long way, and closing the gap and the distance between each other. Thank you for accepting my invitation for this podcast. Taught me a lot, and I'm sure the listeners are learning a lot too.
We've just got started, Marzi. There's a lot more there, but definitely, re-empowering the feminine is important. I think, with the way I look at the planet at the moment, the feminine has been suppressed, both in Mother Nature, with the farming the, you know, the broad scale farming and stuff, and in the feminine around us, and just being seen, the feminine not being seen for the last 10,000 years and not being appreciated for the gift that she is. And that is in the DNA of the ladies as well. The masculine is in a different situation. They were sent off to war, and a lot of them were killed and came back traumatized. But the ladies were traumatized in war also. So, you know, we're carrying a lot of that injury and our trauma, and it sort of creates habits, and a distrust of each other. So, but that was the past. We need to sort of realize that we're now moving into a different time, and we need to reconnect. I think ladies should get there and dress in pretty dresses and flirt a bit and, wake the guys up.
We're doing the best that we can.
Yeah. But we have got more things happening for sure. Yeah. And
There's a lot of changes happening. And also what you shared before, like I think it's what you said about the prehistoric of pre-Bible times. The future, is it okay if you share a few of your texts that you've read into our description?
I've actually, I've got quite a bit of, let me just see. I can find them here. It's actually quite a lot of research around, archaeology and that sort of thing. Yeah. I'll see if I can track them down. But one of them was actually related to, the time of, the gods and agriculture were created at the same time, 10,000 years ago.
That I would love to read that one.
Yeah. Okay. And then it was archaeological one, and then I've got a range of them about things that happened at that time. Story in the Bible, somebody was mentioning it to me the other day, was really that, we have the story in the Bible that explains it, the citizens and civilizations were coming together and building temples to heaven, and some dude decided he didn't like that and came down and destroyed the temples and split up all the communities and gave them different languages. I seem to have basically what I'm seeing in history seems to relate to that, and that we actually are one race, we're one society. And that's some of the research I was doing around whales also, because whales have been here for 40 or 50 million years, and they have a community very similar to humans, what humans used to have and what can go back to, it's a pod that sort of has one male that's been chosen basically by the females to lead the pod, but the mothers, the grandmothers are all there, and part of human nature is that, or human design is that, the lady gets to age of about 40, 45 and has a menopause. From then on, she becomes the wise woman. She looks after her children and the grandchildren. She passes that wisdom on. Looks like the same thing happens with whales as well. And, they've been going 40 or 50 million years, and they live in pods as well. So it's so exciting. And I'm sort of thinking, okay, let's see what we can do studying the whales, to how we can actually change our own society. So with our society, it's not about destroying it. It's about building something else to replace it. And, I'd like to really encourage, with the feminine to come together, with the banking system at the moment. We've got one bank which was set up under extremely dubious circumstances, 1913, and that has actually created scarcity all the way through. It's a privately owned institution. We need to have the finances come back under credit unions. And I think, women put their money together in credit unions, or so do guys, but it's far more, makes more sense for the feminine to work in a community and, use that money as a community rather than winner-take-all situation we've got with other financial institutions who put their money somewhere. We don't know where, but it doesn't go like a tree and feed back into the system. So
it seems like you started from the feminine empowering, but now it's leading you to so many so many great things that you should accomplish.
It's amazing. And I think, if we're able to, if the feminine were able to just realize and overcome, the attachment, the pain of what is there, and then if we got the feminine empowered, we'd change this planet within the space of a very short period of time. And that's a project that I'm working on at the moment, is to how to assist with that happening, as we've spoken about already. But yes. It's another level of conversation.
Well, we can have another level of conversation with our next podcast.
Okay. Hey, I'll show you one book I came across, Feminine Frequencies. Now, this is a book it was written about the Nazi era, early Germany.
Yes.
And it's how they use feminine, how they use the radio to manipulate the feminine population. And so it goes to show what we see and what that was quite divisive. So we are all being manipulated by media and that sort of thing more than we know.
Okay, well, you have to give us the link for that book, because this podcast again is a platform for us to share knowledge, wisdom, so that we could wake up the men.
The guys, actually, it's surprising, if the guys gets to get touched on the shoulder by a guy, within reason, I think that can be done, but just being aware of it, and I think that'd be a great thing to start working on.
Yes. All right, thank you again. We're going to wrap it up, and I would like to say, keep being you, John. Keep planting seeds and keep inspiring everyone around you.
Okay, thank you, Maisie. Thanks for your invite. Hopefully it flowed okay.
Thank you.
That's okay. Thanks, Maisie. Bye-bye.